Matthew chapter 4. Appreciate the music this morning. Matthew chapter 4. There I am. Matthew chapter 4. Well, they on the docket to pour the slab for Activity Center this week, so be in prayer for that. And was suggested, and I think it's a good suggestion, that if we can get some good weather either next Sunday night or the next Sunday night, we might go have a service out on that slab. Wouldn't that be, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Amen. We'll see how the Texas weather cooperates with that. Speaking of Texas weather, how many of y'all are hot in here this morning? Raise your hand. How many of y'all are cold? How many are just right? The just rights win. I would suggest if you're cold, if you'll sit on the outskirts of the building, it's warmer. If you're hot, sit on the inside of the building, it's cooler. It's good to have a lot of visitors this morning. Good to see the Davises here this morning, Brother Wayne. And I picked on Russell a while ago, and apparently he had some kind of surgery. And I bear hugged him. He'll get over it. Hopefully the staples didn't come out. It's a good thing I didn't tackle him, because I thought about it right in the middle of them. It's good to have Brother or Miss Scott's parents with us this morning. Brother Scott married way up. I mean, he had to traverse long and hard to get way up there to Miss Sonia. A lot of inside jokes this morning that nobody understands but us. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 4, if you're not there yet. Matthew chapter 4, just a familiar principle this morning as we look at Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And that's from Deuteronomy, there in chapter 8. And when the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, get thee behind me. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Again, quoting the Old Testament scriptures. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. We pray, God, that you would enable us through your scripture this morning to see and to overcome temptation in our own life. Lord, we pray for victory as we go forward, as we grow spiritually. We thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. More than ever today, we're living in an age of relentless temptations. Relentless temptations by the world, by the Satan. And we know this, whether it's the advertising and commercials that we see on television, which seem to make everything, every sin imaginable, look to be very, very good and like nothing bad ever happens. And, you know, the Las Vegas commercials, you know, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They make it look so appealing. And they don't show the guy who's gone to Las Vegas and lost everything and come home and his family doesn't have food on the table. He doesn't show the woman or the man who's addicted to gambling. By the way, gambling can be and is addictive. It's like the beer commercials that show the great Rocky Mountains and the water coming down, but they don't show the drunk, and they don't show the father coming home to his children and beating his wife. And I know not all drunks do that, but alcohol certainly changes a person's behavior. And They don't show the family without food on the table. They don't show the rent not being made. They don't show the negative side. They make everything look appealing. By the way, Satan makes everything look appealing. And we've preached this particular passage before, and we preached there from 1 John 2:16, where the Bible speaks about that sin, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And in these three areas, Satan continually tempts us. This is how he tempted the Lord, how he tested the Lord. And this is how we are tested, how we are tempted. Lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Fun, fortune, and fame. Man, Satan makes everything look like fun. He makes everything look like fun. All immorality and all sin, he makes it look like fun. Fortune. Satan's made us look at the Joneses across the street and want to keep up with the Joneses. So hopefully there's no Joneses here this morning. Oh, actually, I'm glad if the Joneses are here, but if you're here and I'm offending you, I'm sorry. Everybody wants to keep up with the Clarks. Satan makes it look appealing to look across the street and say, well, that family has a better car, that family has a better house, and then you put yourself into debt, and you continue to put yourself into debt to try to keep up with something else, and it looks very appealing until you make that first 5 or 6 car payments, right? And then it just becomes just a vehicle of transportation. Amen. Just becomes a house. Fun, fortune. And the last one's the pride of life, fame. Boy, Satan can make fame look appealing, can he? Until you see the movie star in jail. Of course, they seemingly always get out for some reason. You see the movie star in rehab. You see the movie star that kind of looked like me. I get called every once in a while, somebody, you know, you look like Robin Williams. Do I look like Robin Williams at all? Appreciate that. But Satan will sure make fame look impressive, make fame look appealing, and then you find movie stars committing suicide. Because fun, fortune, and fame don't bring happiness. Doesn't bring joy. Oh, I'll take that back. It may bring happiness for a fleeting moment, but it doesn't bring joy. It doesn't bring lasting happiness. And so it's just, they got to go on to the next thing, usually the next sin, to try to find happiness. True happiness is found in the Lord. I love the song. Do you know how it feels? Do you know how it feels to be saved and know Jesus as your Savior? Do you know how it feels to lay your head down at night and know the joy and comfort and a security and knowing if I was to die and have a home in heaven? Now that's joy and happiness right there. You know how it feels to go down to the hospital and see Brother John McCollum there and know that God's in control? And I hate it for the family, and I'm glad to see him making progress, but I know when I stand before Brother John or Miss Roberta that God's in control. I'm glad I know how that feels. Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And that's, again, we see the outline of how Satan tested the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death." You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Understanding, yes, that sin is tempting. Yes, but when you give into that temptation and it's conceived and bringeth forth sin, and then that sin leads to judgment, death. Temptation commences, continues, and consumes. And unless we have a plan, we ought to have a plan of dealing with it. And the Bible gives us a plan to deal with it from the verses we see here before. And that's what we want to draw from this particular passage today. Now, understand that being tempted is not a sin. And I always use a silly illustration that my dad taught me when I was a kid. And most of you have heard it. That's okay, I'll tell it again. Being tempted is not a sin. For when I was a kid, my dad at some point, I don't remember, we drove by and there was a very attractive lady sunning, bathing in the front yard. Wonder why a lady would sunbathe in the front yard. maybe she was wanting. Anyway, that's a whole nother sermon. Sunbathing in the front yard in our neighborhood. And so when we drove by, me and my dad, I mean, I'm looking, you know, I'm 13 or 14, I don't remember. And Dad, of course, sees me glance over there, and he says, "Son, it's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong when you drive around the block the second time." It's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to... for that sin to take hold, for that temptation to take hold, to continue. It commences, the temptation commences, it's a temptation, but if we allow it to continue, then it will consume. And that's the part we don't want to get to. How do we deal with temptation? Let's go through a few things. There is, number one, there's a God's purpose for temptation. God's purpose for temptation. Look there at verse 1. And when Jesus was led of the what? Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Notice he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. So this was not out of God's will for Jesus' life. This was in God's will for Jesus to be tempted or tested here. We realize another story. We know that Jesus told his disciples to get into the ship and go to the other side. Remember that story? Everyone remember that account? Jesus says to his disciples, "Get there on the Sea of Galilee, get into the ship, go to the other side." And as they went to the other side, though Jesus had told them to get in the boat and go to the other side, they came upon a storm, a very big storm. In fact, to the point they felt like they were going to lose their life. Were they in the will of God? Yes, because Jesus is the one that put them in the boat and told them to go to the other side. So just because you're facing a test, just because you experience a test, a temptation, does not necessarily mean you're out of God's will. So remember that as we go through it. Just because you experience a sickness or because you've experienced the loss of a family member or you experience a financial setback does not necessarily mean you're out of God's will. We see God's purpose in temptation. Again, that Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. And Christ's temptation proved, listen to this, Christ's temptation proved his deity. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin." Listen, I'm glad today that I have a Savior who was tested for me. That he was tempted in all points and yet without sin. In other words, he hungered. He went without a pillow to lay his head down on. He experienced physical pain and all those things. Now, he did so without sin. In other words, he was tested and his deity came to the surface. I want to remind you this morning that Christ, when he came to earth, when God became flesh, he did not lay aside his deity. He did lay aside his glory. His glory peeked out every once in a while there on the Mount of Transfiguration. But Christ was just as much God as though he'd never been man. Just as much man as though he'd never been God. Christ is the God-man. He is God in the flesh. Timothy tells us, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." The Bible says in him being in the brightness and the express image of his person, Christ was God in the flesh. God in the flesh, the God-man. You understand and know that Jesus Christ, though tested and though tempted of Satan, could not have sinned. Well, you said, then why did Satan tempt him? Because Satan didn't know everything. He didn't know. And therefore, he tested Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ could not sin because he had no sin nature. Because he was born of a virgin. And I'm not going to go into all that teaching and doctrine this morning, but just remind our church family, Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. God with skin on. When you saw Jesus, you saw God. He was God in the flesh. And God cannot sin. God cannot do evil. God cannot lie. So forth and so on. So Jesus Christ had no sinful disposition. He had no sinful nature. But he was tested in all points like we are, yet without sin. So testing was there to prove. Testing was there meant to strengthen. Romans chapter 7 says, "For Paul says there, for what that which I do I allow not, for what I would that do I not, but what I hate that I do." Verse 19 of the same chapter says, "For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do." Paul said, I battle, I struggle, the inward man, the old nature against the new nature are duking it out on the inside of me. And I want to do what's right because of the being saved and knowing Jesus as Savior and the Holy Spirit that abides in me. But that old nature, that flesh, craves the things of this world and craves the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And so they're duking it out on the inside. He said, there's a war within my members. But there at the end of the chapter, he says, "But I thank God, oh wretched man," he says, "that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Who is going to deliver me from this inward war? Listen, Christian. Who is going to deliver me? Who is going to deliver me from this battle that's taking place within me? Again, that battle to do right. That battle to do wrong. That struggle within me. Who's going to deliver me from that? He says, "I thank God." I thank God. It's God who delivers us. It is God who delivers us from the trial. It's God who delivers us from the test. It's God who delivers us from the war within. It's God who gives us victory. We have victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, Paul said there in verse 25 of Romans chapter 7. I have victory in Him. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us and gave His life for us. Listen, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, you can have victory over the lust of the flesh. You can have victory over the lust of the eyes. You can have victory over the pride of life. And that is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found through Him. So the temptation, it proves our love, if you would. The temptation strengthens us. It's nothing but another step as we grow in the Christian life. As we grow in the Christian life. Temptation is an opportunity for us to see and have victory in the Lord. Not only is there a purpose in temptation, but Satan has a plan in temptation. Verse 2 and 3 we see, "And he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards a hunger. Then Satan came and tempted him." Then Satan came and tested him. Satan always comes at our weak times. Listen to this again. Satan comes at times of weakness. Jesus Christ had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I can't imagine that. I have a hard time of going without one meal, much less 40 days and 40 nights. By the way, it's evident that I have a hard time going without one meal. Satan comes at our weak points. Again, like the lust of the flesh, Satan will wait until you're away from home. Satan will wait until you're away from church. He'll come at your weak times. Years ago, I led a man to the Lord who was a drunk, who was an alcoholic. He was already in his early 50s. His name is Brother Tinsley. He's with the Lord now. And I'll never forget, it was my first time to ever lead somebody to the Lord who had a very bad addiction in their life. It was destroying him, his family and friends, and even his job. And we dealt with it. We spent time with him. We discipled him for 13 weeks, 14 weeks. And just spent time trying to strengthen the spiritual man that was in him, the Holy Spirit there. And spent time with him, a lot of time. But he told me, he said, every day when I go to work, when he's by himself, every day on the drive home from work, and he worked about 30 miles away from the city of Nakona, he said, every day when I drive home, I want to pull in and get a beer at the gas station. Every day. He said the craving has never gone away. He was tempted when he was alone. He was tempted when his wife wasn't there. He wouldn't get home and then, you know, because he knew his wife was trying to help him, encourage him. But it was when he was alone. Listen, Satan will come to you in your weak times. Satan will come to you when you are down. But he doesn't care. In fact, when you're down, he wants to kick you further down. Satan hates you. And he is there to do anything he can. He's going to catch you alone when nobody's looking. He's going to tempt you when you're alone in that motel room. He's going to tempt you when you're alone on way to work or way back from work. He's going to tempt you when you're sick, when your health is failing. He's going to tempt you when the finances go south. He's going to tempt you. He's going to tempt you. That's why I said earlier that usually testings or temptations, usually they come in bunches. It's very rare they come in just one thing. Once Satan kind of punches you once, he's going to keep punching you and keep punching you and keep punching you. Because if he can get you down, that's his goal. He wants you down. He wants you to give in to the temptation. He wants you to give in to questioning God. He wants you to give in to these things. We see in verse 3 and 6 that Satan questions the truth. He said, if thou be the Son of God, appealing to Jesus' pride, and of course thinking that Jesus had pride, of course he didn't, he was sinless. Questioning the Word of God, questioning the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, then da-da-da-da-da. Jesus continued to answer back with the Word of God. By the way, Satan continues this way. He said to Eve, yea, hath God said. There in the Garden of Eden, he said to Eve, yea, hath God said. Questioning God, and listen, he'll come and whisper in your ear, God isn't helping you. Yea, hath God said. Oh man, Satan's sly, isn't he? Boy, he's got his fiery darts, and he's going to fire them at you, and he's going to appeal to your flesh, he's going to appeal to your eye, he's going to appeal to your pride, he's going to appeal to everything, he's continuing to throw the fiery darts of Satan and the wiles of the devil. That wiles means he's just a slick, slick, slick guy. He's tricky. Man, he'll make things look good. Man, he'll make this look good. He'll make this look all right. Or again, he'll get you while you're down. Yea, hath God said, questioning the Word of God. By the way, Satan continually misquoted the Word of God, but that's another message. Satan constantly fights. He just kept at it. Three times he comes to the Lord, and three times he appeals to the Lord, and three times he tempts the Lord. And I'm telling you now, Satan just continues and will continue and will continue. We think about Samson and Delilah there in the Old Testament. Samson looked down there at the Philistines and saw one of the Philistines whom he would won, and he went to this harlot. Delilah was a harlot, and he went to her, and she began to ask him why he was so strong. Remember the story? What gives you? Delilah would ask him while he was laying in her lap, and she was saying, "Go to sleep, go to sleep, go to sleep, big old Samson." And as she got him comfortable, she asked him, "Where does your strength lie? What makes you strong?" And of course, Samson lied to him the first time, and then the second time she said it again. Where does your strength lie? What gives you your strength? And he lied to Delilah the second time, but she just kept at it. And Satan will just keep at it. She asked him the third time, and she this time, listen, this time. "You don't love me. You won't tell me the truth." And she was crying and bawling, and "You don't love me." That's what the Bible says. That she began to. I'm not saying the Bible says she cried, but she began to say, "You don't love me." Finally, Samson gave in to the temptation, didn't he? Told her that the strength was in his hair. There had never been a razor on his head. And then she called the barber, got him to sleep again. Lullaby. I'll sing another. No, I won't. Lullaby. Sung him to sleep again. Brought the barber in. Cut his hair. He woke up, didn't he? Without strength. Satan will come and continue to tempt you and continue to test you and just keeps at it. Again, we always joke that it comes in threes, you know. Problems come in threes. Problems come in bunches. But it's biblical principle. Satan's going to continue to knock and continue to fight and continue to tempt. Not only does Satan come to our weaknesses, not only does he question God's truth, not only does he constantly fight us, but he also promises things he can't deliver. He promises things he can't deliver. And again, the devil, taking him up into the exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kings of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee if thou shalt fall down and worship thee." I'm telling you, Satan will promise things he cannot deliver. Remember the old cigarette billboards with the Marlboro man? Old cigarette commercials? Oh man, when I was a kid, it was a big deal. Camel, the Camel commercials and all those. I mean, Everything looks fine and dandy on the commercials until you x-ray the guy and he's got lungs of prunes, dried up prunes, dried up raisins. It's just, everything looked fine and dandy. Man, the beer commercials make everything look great. They make everything look great until you see the abandoned children. They make everything look great until you hear of a little girl being put in a closet by her dad and locked there for umpteen times, and all she can hear outside the door is her mama being beat. By the way, that was my mom. She wouldn't mind me telling that. It's all fine and dandy until your great-grandfather of 83 years old gets run over by a drunk driver and dies. And that happened to us as well. It's all fine and dandy. Satan makes it look great, doesn't he? It does not show the devastation that it causes to families. It doesn't show the hurt and the pain of the wife or the husband. It doesn't show you that on TV. I'd love to have them have some commercials that way, right? Coors have a commercial with a man beating up his wife. Budweiser have a commercial of an empty table with no food on it and children sitting around it. Satan promises things he cannot deliver. Sin promises things it cannot deliver. Satan wants us to worship the world and its system rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, he promises things he cannot deliver. Satan promises no one will get hurt. He promises, you know, if it feels good, do it. And again, I implore you this morning, tell that to the kids of an addict. Tell that to the spouse of an addict. Satan tempts and sin destroys. Tell that to the wife whose husband's trapped in pornography. Pornography turns the wife into an object rather than a passion and a possession of love and a passion of love. Satan promises things he can't deliver. God's purpose in temptation is to prove us. God's purpose in temptation is to strengthen us. Satan's plan is to come and to weaken us at our weak times. Satan comes and questions the truth and gets us to try to question God's truth. And then Satan doesn't give up. He constantly fights. And Satan promises things he can't deliver. And lastly, how do we have this power? How do we overcome temptation? We see this in verse 4, 7, and verse 10. Look at verse 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence. Get thee away from me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How do we overcome temptation in our life? How do we overcome it? Same way Jesus did. By using God's Word. So, well, that's simplistic. Yeah, it's been said the same thing to me when I was in second, third, fourth grade. How do you overcome temptation? By using the Word of God. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3 says, man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. How do we live? We live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. How do we live? We live by the Word of God. This is not only our roadmap, but it's our power to overcome temptation. By way of the Holy Spirit and the empowering of the Holy Spirit through the Word of God, Jesus Christ gave us, showed us, if you would, the way in which we overcome temptation. The key to victory over Satan's temptation is the Word of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. How do we overcome sin? Through the Word of God, hiding it in our heart. I just encourage you this morning as a Christian, there ought to be some verses you have memorized. And when you are tempted, when you are tested, that you quote those. And you say to Satan, get thee behind me. You don't have to say it out loud. But Satan, get thee behind me and quote some scripture. I remember as a kid, and I know you guys get tired of hearing it, but Romans chapter 6, my dad, when I was a kid, made us memorize the whole chapter. And when I was a kid, I hated it. It's like, why would I have to memorize this whole chapter? Well, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And I don't know how many times I've used that verse against Satan. I've said to Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. I will not continue in sin. I have been saved by the grace of God, and I am indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And I quote the scripture, and I say, get thee hence. Get thee behind me, Satan. And I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful that the Word of God, as a kid, was placed within my heart. And my dad and mom encouraged me to do so. The Bible says in Ephesians 6:17, to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. This is our sword. This is our weapon in the fight against Satan. By the way, he is attacking. He is relentless. He will continue to fight and continue to get after you. And it's the Word of God that will give you victory. Victory. Having a devotional life. Having a time in the Word of God. The devil hates you. We give the devil too much credit sometimes. Understand, the devil knows what his end is. The devil knows and understands that one day he will be thrown in the lake of fire to never get out again. He knows it. He knows that at the end, he loses. By the way, I've read the back of the book and we win. I don't care what's going on in our society today and how immoral and the way the world's going. I'm glad I'm on the victor's side. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. Satan knows he's going to lose. And he's trying to take as many of us with him as he can. He's going to do everything he can to get you crossways and get you down and get you out. Let me tell you, you've got to lean upon God's Word when it comes to tests and temptations in your life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." I'll remind you, I have people come to my office all the time. This still happens on occasion. I have people come to my office and say, "Preacher, this is going on in my life, and I must be the only one." I'm like, I'm going, somebody came in last week with the same problem. Such as is common to man. The person sitting next to you probably, or the person behind you or in front of you, probably has experienced the same test, the same temptation, the same, because we're all human beings. We all have the same lust of the flesh. They all have the same old nature. We all have the same old man. And so we're all tested in common areas. Young couples are tested. Young married couples are tested in common areas. Whether it be job and raising children, all of us are tested in those same areas. Very, very few times does anybody come to my office and surprise me after 23 years. It's just not a lot. Such as is common to man. What does it say? The rest of the verse says, most of you know this verse, it says, "But God is faithful." Aren't you glad He's faithful? God is faithful. God is faithful. He's our Heavenly Father and He's faithful. He loves us. He cares for us. He seeks the best possible good for His children. He has our best interests in mind. I still have a sermon I'm putting together on that one. There's an Old Testament scripture that says that. God has our best interest in mind. He does all things for our good. He says, "But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but with a temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Remind you again that God is the one who allows us to be put in the heat, but He has His hand on the thermostat. He determines how hot it gets. He determines how tough it gets. He determines. He has allowed those things to happen. He's not the one who sins evil. He's not the one who does evil to us, but He certainly allows it. He's our Heavenly Father. He's in control of all things. He has His hand on the thermostat. He said He will make a way of escape. And no matter what you may be facing this morning, no matter what trial you may be facing, no matter what testing you may be a part of right now, God will make a way of escape. And when it gets so hot, and when it gets so grim, and when things look so bad, He'll turn down the thermostat. I know it because He's done it in my life. Multiple, multiple times. If you will rely upon Him. If you will lean upon Him, because He is faithful. Let me give you a couple of more practical things. When you are tempted to miss church, think of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Right? He says there, Paul says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we should meet more and more as we see the day approaching." We are not to forsake this assembling of ourselves together. Paul says there in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 that we are should not, as Christians, miss church. Pretty practical, right? That is a biblical principle. We take a biblical principle and we form a biblical conviction. My biblical conviction based upon Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 is that I will not miss church. I just won't do it. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I will not miss church. There are very few exceptions. Very few exceptions. And even when I'm on vacation out of town, I find a place to go to. By the way, every time I find a place to go to on my vacation, makes me very thankful for this church. So go visit a church on your vacation. I am so thankful for our church family. But I am going to be in church. I'm going to be in church. That's my conviction. My standard is I'm not going to allow anything to get in the way of me being at church. I'm not going to allow sports to get in the way of me being in church. My kids, to this point, and my kids are older now, have never missed church for baseball. I had parents in the beginning tell me, well, you'll give in at some point because this and this and that. My kids haven't missed for baseball. All of them played. See, because my conviction is that you shouldn't miss church based upon Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. So my standard is I'm not going to miss church for anything. Got quiet. Every time I bring up sports, it gets quiet. Amen. Priorities, folks, priorities. We teach our children that sports are more important than church. When they get older, they'll do less than you let them, than they do. I'm telling you, the next generation will normally does less than the generation we're in. Keep that in mind. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves. Some practical things. When we're tempted to miss church, remember Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Go home and look it up. Read about it. Form your own conviction. Your standard may be a little different than mine. This is not my basis necessarily to judge what your standard may be. You know, some of you may be on vacation. You may miss a Sunday night service. I can tell you that I have missed a Sunday night service before on vacation. Right? But I didn't miss a Sunday morning. I promise. I always like to tell my heart, and I always tell myself. I've tried not to miss Wednesday night on vacation. I have a standard. I'm going to stick to it. Need some more amens, everybody? Number two, when we're tempted to not study our Bible, when we're tempted not to read the Bible, we need to remind ourselves of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study our Bible. We need, as Christians, to read the Bible. It's a biblical principle. It's commanded. It is needful for us as Christians to read the word of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, But though our outward man perish, yet their inward man is renewed day by day. We need a daily renewal. We can't just come to church on Sunday and Sunday night, even Wednesday nights, and expect to grow in the Christian life. We can't just have a day. We can't just have a one day of the week Christian life. We are commanded. We're begged to live the Christian life every day, to feed upon the milk of the word and feed upon the manna and feed upon the meat, to develop a good balanced diet spiritually speaking. How's your diet going? My physical diet's not going so well, but I want my spiritual diet to be where it should be. Reading in the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Oh, man. You can go home and read it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. He describes there that Peter said, we got to see Jesus Christ in the flesh. Amen. We got to see. We don't follow cunningly devised fables, he says. We saw him after the resurrection. We saw him in person. We saw him after he was crucified. We saw him. We don't follow cunningly devised fables. But then he says to us, but you have a more sure word. Even though you, in other words, you have it better. Peter says, listen now. He says, you go look it up. You have it better, Peter says, than we do. You have it better than those of us who saw Jesus Christ in person. He says, you have a more sure word of prophecy. We have it better. We have the completed word of God. And Christians, I want to remind you, the Bible says, take up thy cross daily and follow me. And we should spend time daily in the word of God. We have it better than those that saw Jesus in the flesh. That's what Peter said. Not what this preacher says, what Peter says. Are you reading your Bible? The principle found there is that we should read our Bible daily. We're tempted not to read our Bible and remind ourselves of the biblical principle. And that should produce a conviction. My conviction is I'm going to read the Bible daily. My standard is I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. I'm going to make some goals for myself to read the Bible. Thirdly, when we're tempted to be silent about Jesus Christ, especially in this day and age, we need to remind ourselves of Mark and Matthew and all the gospel writers who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. See, as a Christian, you don't have the right to be silent. Because we're commanded by our Heavenly Father. We're commanded by the Lord Jesus to tell others of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have the right as a Christian to be silent. But we need to be out telling others. Fourthly, when we're tempted to drugs and alcohol and other sins, we remind ourselves, 1 Corinthians 6:19. Maybe some of you here this morning have trouble in this area. You might want to write down that scripture. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What does verse 19 say? Or verse 20 says, but ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies. Listen, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. We should take care and be careful with the temple. Be careful. Take care of the temple. When we're tempted to become immoral, remind ourselves of 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts. We use the Word of God when it comes to temptation. To overcome temptation, we remind ourselves the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. And when Satan comes to tempt you, little old song we learned in Sunday school, when that old Satan knocks on thy heart's door and says, may I come in? I say, no, no, for Jesus loved me so, and he took away my sin. Then he turns around and he runs away. I wish he'd go away to stay. When that old Satan knocks on thy heart's door, I just say, how many of y'all heard that one before? Golly. The end of it is, I just say, no, no, no. You get the kids to yell it out real loud. What do you say when Satan comes and knocks at your door? You say, no. Get thee behind me, Satan. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace shall abound? Romans chapter 6, I will not yield myself as an instrument of unrighteousness. I don't have to. I've been saved from the penalty of sin, but I've also been saved from the power of sin. I don't have to give in to sin and temptation. I can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. I can have victory through the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It is the light in my life. Until that day star and day dawn, the day dawn and the day star rises in my heart, the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a light. And then I'm meant to be a light. The Word of God. Oh, Satan likes to lie concerning salvation, doesn't he? He's a liar. He'll say things to you like, well, you know you're a good person, and as long as you're a good person, when you die, you'll go to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That salvation is not earned. It's not earned through church membership. It's not earned through being a good person. It's not earned through my mom and daddy being a Christian. It's not earned through baptism. It's not earned through the Baptist faith, the Methodist faith, the Lutheran faith. The Bible makes it very clear that salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing and trusting in Him, His life, His death, and His resurrection. Understand, it's understanding that I am a sinner, repenting of my sins. And that's to have a change of mind concerning my sins and the willingness to turn from those sins. It's repenting of my sins. Lord, I know that my sin put you on the cross. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I am selfish. And God, I repent of my sins. And Lord, I know that you live and you died and you rose again. God, I believe that you sent your Son to live and to die on the cross for me. And I know that you rose again the third day. And Lord, I'm believing and trusting in you as my only means of salvation from the wrath of God has been placed upon my sins. My only means of salvation from a hell to have a home in heaven. The only means of salvation from my sins is through Jesus Christ. Oh, Satan will lie to you and say, well, you know, there are many roads to heaven. Doesn't matter what you believe, there are many roads. But Jesus said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said he was the only way. And the only way to eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, Satan will lie to you concerning sin. He'll try to get you to question God's truth. And that's why I gave you several scriptures to remind you. Don't allow Satan to trick you. Don't allow Satan to manipulate the Word of God to get you to believe something that the Bible does not say. Remind you that Satan constantly fights, and he's going to try to catch you when you're down, and he's going to kind of catch you at that weak point, and have some scriptures ready to shoot back at him. He likes to shoot at you. Be good to get the sword out and hack away. Satan loves to promise stuff that he cannot fulfill. Las Vegas doesn't bring all happiness. The world doesn't bring all happiness. Sin brings forth death. The wages of sin is death. Boy, let's remember this morning that we can't overcome sin in our life. We can overcome temptation through the Word of God. Let's use it. I am more than conqueror through Jesus Christ who loved me and gave his life for me. I don't know what you may be going through, what testing or what trial you may be going through, some storm in life. I remind you that God has his hand on the thermostat because he is faithful. He's faithful. Rely upon him. Let's all stand. Hymn 163, only trust him. May the Lord's touched your heart about something this morning. Maybe you're dealing with a test. Maybe you're dealing with a temptation this morning. Maybe you want to come and just lay that at the Lord's feet. He said his yoke is easy and his burden's light. Take off that yoke of sin and take off that burden. Lay it at the Lord's feet. Lord, we thank you.